I was thinking about this morning. I shared a little bit in our ministers meeting. It seems like that when you read the scriptures, those who discovered Jesus almost immediately go out and find someone else to tell them about what they found. Of course, my mind was in the woman at the well. Jesus stopped by because he knew he was going to talk to her. And after he talked to her for a good while, that she went back to the city. Got to come and see a man who's told me everything. Scripture says, and the city came out. First thing she did after meeting Jesus was go tell somebody. One brother who found Jesus went and got a hold of his other brother, Simon, and brought him there and to meet Jesus immediately after he met the Lord, which tells me that the freshness of our encounter with God is the moment that we need to share our discovery and find someone to share that with. Because the longer you go, the less excited sometimes you become. Not that you don't love the Lord, is that that freshness sometimes sort of evaporates. And if I get a opportunity to eat, you know, a new pie, I'm excited. Praise God. Amen. If it's good, I'll tell you about it. If it's bad, I'll tell you about it. Don't eat that. That's not good. Amen. But the opportunity of sharing. Taste and see that the Lord, he is what?
Good.
Good. Amen. Very, very good. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. You have your Bibles or electronic Bibles. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 through 19. I love the first song that Brother Randy brought us into this morning, Standing on the Promises of God. Hallelujah. You can do that. Absolutely can do that. Hebrews chapter 6, starting verse number 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth unto that within, entereth into that within the veil. Interesting scriptures. Verse 18 points out who have fled for the refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Brother Shannon had made comments before he sang this morning. We are in a hurting world. And there's all kinds of problems. You can make a long list and never, I don't think, finish the list. But in the midst of all of this, I like this scripture that simply says, who have fled for refuge. That means trying to find a place of safety. Trying to find a place of help. It says to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. We know God has come in flesh. We know, according to the scriptures, that he took our place and died for us, our sins, on the cross of Calvary. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying that we fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope. There's a whole vast opportunity in front of us. We just don't know if we can grasp it or not and hold on to it. But the writer simply is saying there's a place that you can go. There's a refuge that you can find. Because in that refuge, you can lay a hold of the hope. Verse 19, it talks about, as we have in times past, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Something to keep your soul steady and sure and fastened. Now, I've got a message this morning that I really feel is of the Lord. And the title of this message is a title that we all fit in one time or another. And maybe you're here this morning and this title fits you. It's this: can God help me? Can God help me? Oh, I know there's a refuge. I know there's a place we can go. We can go to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday. I know I can go to my own private prayer closet and pray. And I try to lay hold upon the hope that Jesus will help me, or He'll open up some doors, or maybe even close a door or two. But can God help me? We've all been in that place of questioning in our life. Can God help me? Long after the kids are bathed and put to bed, the single mom stares at the bills and the checkbook balance. She's called on all of her friends. She's cashed in. You know what I'm talking about, all the favors that she can call in. There aren't enough hours in the day to earn the money that she needs to pay the bills, meet the needs of her children. So like most of us, she stares out of the window of the small apartment and wonders where to turn. Then there is the weary man who's in the ICU, little place set aside in a hospital for intensive care. He's standing over the bedside of his only true love. He's never known anything as pure as this woman's heart. He leans over her face and strokes her white hair. No response. The doctor has told him to say his goodbyes. And the husband is all out of hope. And what about the executive who sits behind the big desk? He's run out of ideas to save the business. The banker wants to meet with him, discuss a few things like the overdrawal. His accountant is so frustrated that he wants to quit. And hope, sitting behind that big desk, he has none. You know the feeling, I think we all do. Even the cup is half full type of people. You know, those positive souls who use the little lyric, "The sun will come out tomorrow." Even they sometimes run out of hope. Where do we go? What do we do? And where do we turn? I suggest we turn to this great and precious promise that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It's firm and it's secure. Hallelujah. This anchor is set. I've talked about the anchors in weeks past. But I think you need an anchor. I need an anchor in the day that I live in and you live in. No, not this anchor that is set from the standpoint of a piece of iron, but something that's more substantial. And as the scripture says, this anchor that is set in the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered into on our behalf, according to Hebrews 16, 19 and 20. Our anchor, in other words, is set in the weary throne room of God. You say weary? That's where all the weary comes to. That's where all the worn people show up. Eventually, you'll get there. Eventually, you'll have the days in your lives where there's no place to go except push back the curtain and enter into that sanctuary and join all the rest of the weary souls. In other words, it's set in the very throne room of God. We might imagine the anchor attached to the throne itself. It will never break free from the throne. The hope that we have is in the rope. It will never snap, never break under the pressure and the tug and the pull of our hope. The anchor is set and the hope is strong. Why? Because it is beyond the reach of the devil and under the care of Christ. And since no one can take your Christ away from you, no one then can ever take your hope away from you as well. Do critics define your identity? I'll tell you this morning, no. Because God said, let us make man in our image. Genesis 1 and 26. People may try to destroy your life or your reputation or your background. But I'm here to tell you that God made you in His image. And He tries to repair you and put you back together every time it seems like your life is falling apart. Are you a victim of circumstances? Not in the least. When a believing person prays, great things begin to happen, according to James chapter 5 and verse 16. Does God have a place for the small people of the world? Yes, He does. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, 1 Peter 5 and 5. Do you feel alone with your problems? You're not alone. Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Verse 8 and 1. Can God forgive your failures? If you ask Him, He will forgive you. How do you know that, Pastor? Because in Romans 8 and 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation that can affect your life. Someone says, will the sorrow of life ever end? God has assured us that weeping may last through the night, but joy comes when the morning does. In Psalms 35, according to the New Living Testament, I like that. You can weep all night long, but you've got to hope that in the morning, the anchor tied to the throne of Christ, there's going to be some rejoicing coming when He splits the eastern sky and takes in a moment of twinkling eye a church, a body of believers out of this world. Will you have the wisdom and energy for the remainder of your life? I've heard some say, I don't know if I can make it any longer. I don't know if I can trudge through life anymore. I don't know if I can take anymore or not. I don't know if I can hear one more person has a cancer. I don't know if I can understand and take one more person that's got a crushing disability. I don't know if I can handle one more person that fails God. Will you have the wisdom and energy for the remainder of your life? I'm going to tell you, no, you won't. But the Spirit of God does. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you, Acts 1 and 8. What are you going to do in that throne room? You're going to get in there where the presence and the anointing of God is. Hallelujah. The power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. I don't know if I can make another step, but there's something about the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Some people who says, I can't make it, get a hold of that promise that you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the power of God. No condemnation. I can make it. My anchor is tied to the throne. My hope is more than just a wish. It is reality. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. I want to look at verse 17, 18, and 19 this morning with you. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Is anybody here an heir of promise? Are you an heir to the promise that God has made to the church, the body of Christ, to humanity? Are you an heir? Heir promise, the immutability of his counsel. You can't argue with God's word. You can't argue with his counsel. Confirmed it by an oath. Now, what was the oath that God confirmed? Let's look at verse number 18. He says that by two mutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul? Both sure and steadfast, which endureth unto that within the veil. Wow. Once in a while, we need Dave just to push back the curtain. And we need to walk into the veil. Just kind of walk in there. If you got to drag yourself, then drag yourself. If you got to crawl, get in there. If you got to crawl, there's been times in my life I've had to pound the wall. God, I don't understand that. Amen. Well, just pound the wall as you crawl in behind the veil. Why? Because God will show you the reason in his presence, in his anointing, in the power of the Spirit of God. I can't see anything in the natural flesh, in the natural mind, my brother. But I tell you what I can see when I get in the Spirit. I can see things I never saw before. I can be able to comprehend things I never comprehended before. Because why? I get behind the veil. I don't understand it outside the veil. I can pound the walls and say, God, why, and why? But when I get in the veil and my anchor is tied to the throne, to Jesus Christ, I can see better and clearer and farther than I ever saw before in my life. Wow. I don't understand my trouble. You can't outside the veil. I don't understand why God put this on me. You never will outside the veil. Outside of God's presence, you cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. Because they are carnal to you outside the veil, outside your mind trying to comprehend it and try to understand it. But it's inside the veil Amen. The veil of his flesh, it tells us in Romans. Paul was writing to understand that this veil of the flesh, but if you get by his flesh, which he hung on the cross of Calvary, he has made intercession for us, and we have access into his presence, into his mightiness, and his awesomeness. Someone shout amen.
Amen.
Woo, I felt that. There's times we'd have smile regardless. You can't smile outside the veil. You smile inside the veil. I can't rejoice. How can I rejoice over this affliction? How can I rejoice over this thing? Because I'm going to tell you what, you can't outside the veil of his flesh, but you can inside the veil. You can worship him. You enter into his presence with praise and thanksgiving. Amen. And you begin to love him. Oh, I'm telling you what, you can talk about, oh, I think I love my little baby if I ever get one. Oh, I'm standing outside the veil out here, and I haven't had one yet, but if I ever get one, I think I would love it just like you can't believe. Amen? But when you get one, Daddy is sitting there, and he's cuddling that little precious daughter. Why? Because he has it. It's not a dream anymore. It's not a hope anymore. Amen? There's something that happened that absolutely provides the joy of my life. A joy of my... Can I suck you in the arm? Okay. A joy of my life. Unspeakable. Full of glory. Hallelujah. I love that. I want somebody... Well, let me read it for you. Let me get my spectaculars on here. Isaiah chapter 40, I believe. You may want to put it up on the screen. Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse number 25. I want you to turn there or read it. We try to help you out so much. Even if you don't bring your Bible to church, we just put it up on the screen for you. But it's good, you need to bring your Bible. Let me tell you something right now. You parents need to get your Bible out and let your children understand what that book, it's a Bible. It's not holding down the doilies on the coffee table. It's not a doily holder. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes Sunday school teachers scratch their head, why the little children don't bring their Bibles with them to church? Because mom and daddy don't bring their Bible to church.
Right. Amen.
Is that okay? I thought that's pretty good myself.
Yes, that's pretty good.
Mom and daddy come put their Bible under their arm. Come on, children, let's go to church this morning.
Come on.
Okay, daddy.
Yes.
You got your Bible, honey? Oh, I got my Bible, daddy. Well, come on. We're going to church. You got to bring your Bible with you.
Yes, sir.
So here we go. Isn't that little? Mom and daddy got their Bible. Little kids got their Bible. The little bitty, 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 bitty kids got the little bitty, bitty Bible. It's amazing how kids emulate their parents.
Yeah.
Say, get off of it. I'll move on then. Say, leave me alone, preacher. Pastors, I'll find my Bible. Can I say bet in church? I don't either. But if I was a betting man, I'd say Bunchy wouldn't go home and look at your Bible. But I'm not a betting man, so I could lose the whole thing. Say, get back on subject. Here is a wonderful Sunday school teacher. Even though she has red hair, she is very calm, and cool and collected. And this Sunday school teacher would like for her Sunday school children to have their Bibles with them. That's what I thought. You amen and you don't have one with you. Good Lord. You can be the first one on the altar this morning.
Okay, I will.
No. Isaiah chapter 40. Somebody say, can God help me?
Can God help me?
I sense it in some of your spirit. You're doing a good job. You've got a good front going on. You've got a nice demeanor happening. But I sense in the spirit that you've said more than once, God, can you help me? Verse 25, Isaiah 40. To whom then will we liken me? To whom then will you liken me? God's asking Israel, who will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Well, God, just like all the other gods in the world, he's just God. Or are you going to look at me as if I'm the Holy One of Israel? The only one. The top one. There's no God before me. He said, no God after me. I alone am God. Are we going to look after our God to say, well, he's not much different than any other gods they proclaim in this world? Yes, he is. He wants to know what you're going to do with him. Are you going to liken him as the only holy God that there is? If he's going to be the only holy God that there is, then you got to stop playing around with the other gods. The gods of this world.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth all of them by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong and power, not one fainteth. He is saying, I've made everything that there is made. I've made the stars and I've named them one by one. Now, what's your problem? What God do you serve? Is he the only God? Is he the true God? He made the heavens, he made the earth. And he named all the stars. And you got a problem? I said, and you got a problem?
All right.
I said, and you got a difficulty? And you belong to God? And you don't know the power that's in the veil?
That's right.
And you don't know the awesomeness of the answers that God gives you inside the veil, his presence, his anointing? You see, the Bible says, and Paul wrote it very clearly, if you walk in the flesh, you will fulfill the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, there's something there that you walk in the Spirit. You say, well, you're just too holy. Friend, I'm not holy enough. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means you will not fulfill the desires of this world. The flesh is carnal. The flesh is the world. The problem is that we get too fleshly to believe that there's hope in the veil. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this. You need to get in a prayer room, get in that veil, and begin to pray until the anointing of the Holy Ghost, like dewdrops coming from heaven, comes down and refreshes your soul and refreshes your life. Come on, somebody.
Yeah,
I I've got this problem. I've got this God.
Amen. You like it.
I've got that suppression. I've got a big God.
Amen.
He's the only God.
Yes.
He's the holy God.
Amen.
There's none after him,
amen,
none before him. He's the only one there is. If you had only one banker in town and you had to cash your check, where would you go? To the only bank there was in town. If you've got a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled bank, and God writes you a promise, that's what a check is. It's a promise that if you go cash that, I'll give you what that's worth. Amen? How much was the death of the cross of Calvary worth? How much? Come on, somebody. Come on, wake up, you apostolic Pentecostals.
Yes, amen.
Thank you. You back there in the back row back there. Thank God he's awake. If you take that check to the only bank there is in town to cash it, they're going to honor that check and give you what it's worth.
Yes.
If you take to the throne room of God in the sanctuary what he has written you with a promise,
yes,
he said, cast every care upon him, for he cared for your soul, and get the promise cash. He's going to give you exactly what he promised he was going to give. Come on, somebody. Shout out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? It's not. You can't hide nothing from God. You can't run away from God. You cannot play peekaboo with God. A little child plays hide and seek. Goes in the living room, stands behind the curtain. Daddy, pretending, can't find his little girl. Well, where is she? And all the time he sees her two little feet sticking out below the curtain. God doesn't work that way. He can see through the curtain as well as seeing your feet. So why not understand? Let's go to verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He is there to help you 24/7. Come on, somebody. Come on, church. Come on, child of God. Come on, you got a problem in your life, problem going on in your family, problem going on in your body. Come on, he's not weak. Don't you know? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord and the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, nor neither is weary? There is no searching for his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the, everybody say, faint. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases the strength.
Right on. Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Come on, Matt.
Amen.
I'm weak. I've put in 60 hours this week. But you got two boys sitting there and a nice, lovely wife that you say, I'm going to get up and work 10 more, make it 70 hours. Why? Because the responsibility you have in meeting that family's need causes you to get up when you don't feel like getting up. And somehow you find the strength when you feel like you don't have any strength left. Amen. You can't hold the eyelids open. You're so tired and so weary and so worn out. Now notice this, that my God is not weak, Brother Terry. He's not weak. He's not weak. He gives power to the faint. Come on. You feel a little weak, a little faint? He gives power to you.
Yes.
Anybody understand? He gives power to you.
Yes.
Am I in the Word this morning?
Yes.
And to them that have no might, He increases the strength.
Yes.
Come on. Where do I get the strength? I'm weak right now, and I'm crawling behind the veil. But once I get in His presence and His anointing, the Spirit of God gives me strength. Because He gives it to me. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Somebody raise your hands. I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to be weary. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop along the way. I know my God has the power and the might. Can God help me? Yes, He can. Can God help me? Yes, He can. Say it again. Yes, He can. Say it one more time. Yes, He can. Let's worship Him, God. Let's worship Him. You come to church or you come to get something from God this morning? I said you come to be seen. You come to let God hear what you have need of. Yes, He can. I give thanks to Him because He can. I enter His gates with praise and with thanksgiving because He has. He has. My faith, like rope, is tied to the chair, the throne that He sits upon. The anchor of my soul. My Creator. I've said it before, I'll say it again this morning. A lot of times when I am praying, I want to start out by saying, God, You are my Creator. Secondly, Lord, You're my Deliverer. Made in the image of God and rescued, for He so loved the world. Do we understand what "I'll never leave you nor forsake you" means? Do we fully comprehend "I'll never leave you nor forsake you"? I'll go with you to the ends of the world. Next time it crosses your mind, God, can You help me? However You get there, push back the veil and go into the sanctuary. My strength cometh from the Lord. My strength. You know why little babies are precious? And we're blessed with them. In fact, next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to have a baby dedication. Amen?
Amen.
Looking forward to that. The reason why that child is so important to you, and you cuddle it and you hold it and rock it, is that you birthed it. Let me say it again. And you birthed it. Why does God love you and hold you so close and rock you? Because He birthed you.
Amen.
You're the most precious things ever born. In God's eyes, there's no ugly baby. In God's eyes, there's no ugly baby. He birthed you. You're in His image, in His likeness. And He holds you close to Him. You see, the feminine aspect of the church is like she's female. God, masculine, is the male. When you get in trouble, when you was a little child, which one of your two parents did you run to first? Mama. You ran to mama. You run to church. And daddy says, what's wrong with her? Or what's wrong with him? Mama said, well, dad, this is the problem. And dad says, I can take care of that. Why do we go to church? That's where I run to. Push back the veil. Enter into the anointed presence of God. Amen. The music, I thought this morning, God bless the musicians this morning as I was praying downstairs. We have prayer meeting at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Bless the musicians. Why? Because they bring us into the presence of God. Without the music, without the worship, without the rattling of the tambourine, as Israel danced in the sound of the tambourine or the flute or the harp, people got into the presence and the worship of God. Bless the musicians, Father, because they bring us into your presence with worship. Music helps move the veil that we enter into His presence with. Amen. Wow. Can God help me? Yes, He can. Just got to get into the veil. Pass it. Into the sanctuary. Wow. Let's stand together, shall we? Hallelujah. A mama on her own and two children, and the bills have overwhelmed her, and the money is not there, and don't have time to go out and make more money. What am I going to do? God, will you help me? There's testimonies inside of this building this morning I could point you to and have them to testify that God has done just exactly that. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy joy. Where are you going to be joyful at, Pastor? In the sanctuary, in His presence, and His anointing. If you have a family gathering, you sit down together around the table come Thursday or whenever you have your gathering. Take time before you dive into that awesome, tremendous meal. Grab a hand of a loved one around the table. Maybe have each one give a brief what they're thankful for. Amen. If I was to hold your hand this morning around this table, I would say, I'm so thankful for my spiritual family. I'm thankful for my brothers and my sisters. I never had that in growing up. I'm thankful if I'm down, you're there to lift me up And if you're down, I'm there to lift you up. Amen? Amen. Would you lift your hands one more time? And let's give Him thanks. Would you just give Him thanks that He has helped you? He has helped you.